Okay. So the project part B is almost ready. We'll release it sometime over the weekend, and then you know we can discuss it a little bit as needed on Tuesday's class. But essentially, it will involve adding link analysis on top of the IR that you already did, so that you can basically have something like a search engine. All search engines do link analysis plus content analysis, right? That's what we do. And so the last topic for that you sort of need for that project is PageRank, which also happens to be the one that we're discussing today. We already looked at authorities hubs, which is one way of doing link analysis, and this is slightly different way of doing link analysis. It has some useful properties, not so much because of the way it is computed, but for secondary reasons, as you'll see. It turns out you avoid, as I mentioned last time, the authorities hubs, out of the box, it tends to be defined with respect to the results of a query. And so you wind up doing more online processing. After the query, you do a base set and then do the A and H computation. But that winds up being much more relevant to the query. This idea tries to give, another way of defining page importance is to just define importance of the page globally. So some pages are important, some are not important, irrespective of what the query is. Okay. Obviously, there are lots and lots of problems with that, but it has one big advantage, which is you just wind up computing the ranks once and winding up using it. And we'll see that really both extremes are bad, and from authorities hubs, you can try to avoid doing some of the online computations. From PageRank, you can try to make it more and more specific to the query. So that's what we'll see. But a different point, of course, is that ultimately the ground truth for link analysis is the link matrix, the adjacency matrix A. Okay. It's a matrix, it's a graph, and you want to analyze the structure of that graph and compute some reasonable notions of importance. One way of doing it was authorities hubs. Today, we'll look at that same matrix and we will say, well, it's really a Markov chain. And look at some that point of view of Markov chains and see that, you know, for Markov chains, it makes sense to define steady state stationary probability distribution, and then we compute those. And that again, surprisingly enough, winds up being related to eigenvectors, except for a slightly different matrix. Okay? So that's the idea that we're going to look at in today's class, and we'll look at some notions of efficient computation of page rank and a couple of improvements over page rank such that it becomes slightly more specific to the topic. Okay? Before I go, are there questions? Yes.
Mm-hmm. But whether add the authority of that point, those points, because the authority.
So each point, each node can have both an authority value and a hub value.
Okay. Why include both, but just defined by each other?
Okay, because actually there is a more natural interpretation of that. So in some sense, If you would rather just have one notion of importance, then PageRank is a better idea for you because it just gives one notion of importance. Okay, but in reality, I don't know whether to say reality or not, but I can also argue that there are truly, in terms of a social network, there are two notions of importance. The importance in terms of who are the people that everybody seems to look up to, which is authorities, you know, on certain topics, and the other issue is who seem to know all the important people. You know, in politics, you have kings and kingmakers. You have kings and you have kingmakers. Kingmakers are great hub guys. Okay, so if you want to get things done, you need to know the kingmaker. right? And that's a different notion of importance. And so oftentimes, when you're looking for pages on a particular topic, you may be both interested in the most authoritative page on that topic, as well as the page that seems to point to all the authoritative pages on this topic. Because one is a survey paper, one is the original contribution. Okay? If you don't like that, and if you would rather have just one number fits all, then we look at PageRank, which essentially talks about stationary distribution over Markov chains. Okay? So why define authority in terms of hubness and hubness in terms of authorities? That's because kings are defined in terms of kingmakers, and kingmakers are defined in terms of the kings they know. So it's a natural way you deal with social networks. If you do not like that way of defining importance, we are disagreeing on the ways of defining importance, and I think there are many ways we can disagree in general. Okay, in fact, I would say authorities, hubs, PageRank, all of these are authority subs. The second phase of it at least makes it query specific. But you know, PageRank, that you mostly know and I'm going to discuss in more detail today, does not even care about the query. So what is this notion of importance which is independent of query? Okay. So the interesting point is all we have is this link matrix, and we're trying to mine some reasonable notions of importance from that. And finally, how would you guess, by the way, so there was this issue as to how would you actually go up, actually get, show that authorities hubs are page rank, etc., improves performance. How do you decide that? How are you supposed to, decide whether or not authorities, hubs, and page rank, any sort of link analysis, whether it actually improves performance, what kind of experiments would you do to do that?
Try it out on the user.
And what would you compute?
What is their relevance?
So you do precision recall studies with users. Okay? And that's the only way. So you show top 10 results just based on the vector similarity. Two users, two random users who ask those queries. And also to them, the same users show also top 10 results ranked in terms of authorities hubs. And ask them, which one do you prefer? I mean, basically ask them to tick what they consider are relevant. And these are relevant studies. Okay. Currently, search engines, the only empirical systematic way to show that it improves performance is really that relevant, the precision recall curves improve. And more importantly, precision improves, because on the web you don't care about recall. Okay? And so, in fact, there are actual studies that were done. This is one that I kind of skipped over, which basically did actual user studies with users. And they agreed that, being shown both authorities and hubs, high authorities and high hubs, was better than just showing content-based pages, okay? Just content-based similarity, okay? Other question? Okay, so that's PageRank, and before we go on to the PageRank, let's just summarize some important ground truths. Authority Hub algorithm was published in SODA, which is Symposium on Discrete Algorithms, and it was also then published in JACM, which is the Bible of computer science that nobody reads. John Kleinberg became very, very famous. He, in the scientific community, he even got a MacArthur Genius Award right in time the last time I taught this class, when I was teaching authorities hubs. I go back from the class and I find that he just got the MacArthur Genius Award. So it's kind of nice, okay? So that's the story of authorities hubs. What's the story of PageRank? PageRank algorithm was rejected from SIGA-IR, which is, yes sir. Basically, these ideas existed in social network communities. He just talked about variations of kingmakers and kings existed. You know, Kleinberg was not the first guy to tell this, right? What he did essentially was to point out that adding this analysis on the pages is a useful thing. So he was one of the first to connect social network analysis to the authority subs. By the way, the JACM paper on authority subs that I linked to you, you should read this because most likely you probably would not enjoy most JACM papers unless you're very theoretically oriented. This one, you should be able to understand. You know, so it's your chance to say, I too read a JACM article. Okay, so please do read it. Okay. PageRank algorithm, on the other hand, was rejected from SIGA-IR. It's a beautiful story. In fact, if you remember, I asked you to read this paper on precision and recall for conferences in the beginning of the semester, right? Basically, if you think of a conference, and you know, for those of you who went to conferences, when you sit in the conference, you know whether the papers being presented are good or bad. So you can tell whether it's a good conference or bad conference in terms of precision. In terms of whether they accepted bad papers, you can figure that out. But what you cannot figure out is whether they rejected good papers, because they were rejected. Okay, so SIGA-IR actually rejected PageRank paper in 1998. Okay, and in fact, so Larry Page got dejected, and he never published PageRank algorithm, actually, as a direct algorithm in any paper. He had to drop out of PhD and did not even get a genius award. And poor guy had to be just content with being a billionaire. Okay. So the important thing here is that publishing is very important. Okay. So I hope you got that lesson from that distinction for the grad students at any rate. Okay. So PageRank essentially looks at the same linked adjacency matrix, and views it as a Markov chain. Okay, now what is a Markov chain? A Markov chain essentially is a probabilistic finite state automaton. Okay, so you have a state 1, you have state 2, state 3, state 4, and there is a certain probability with which you go from S1 to S2, let's say 0.7, another probability that you go to S3, 0.3, from S2 to S4, you go with probability 1, let's say. From S4 to S3, you may go with probability 0.3. S4 to F1, it's probability 0.6. S4 back to itself, it's probability 0.1. This is a finite state automaton, right? So you're going from one state to another state. It's a probabilistic finite state automaton because the transitions are probabilistic. Okay, and from each node, all the transitions together add up, the probabilities have to add up to 1. This is called a Markov chain. Okay, now the Markov part of Markov chain, what's the deal about Markov part of Markov chain? The probabilities of transition depend only on the state, not on the history of how you got here. Okay, now that's an important issue. So the idea is, if you ever come to this page, then with probability, so now this is actually a Markov chain, but I am also kind of thinking now that these can be pages. S1s and S2s can be pages. And somehow, these transitions have to be defined in terms of link matrix. Okay? Now, so the idea, of course, is if I come to S1 ever, with 0.7 probability, I'll go to S2. 0.3 probability, I will go to S3. If I come to S3, S2, I'll always go to S4. And so on. Now, if I have a Markov chain like this, right? How many of you have heard of Markov chains? All of you must have heard of it. You just forgot, because all of you had to take probability random processes course just to be an CS student. Unfortunate thing about CS is we make you take the math and not use it. and once in a while you get to use it. So here is one place where you get to use linear algebra and in this particular case Markov chain theory. The interesting part about Markov chain theory is the following question. So it's clear that if you are in S1 you'll get here, if you are in here you'll get here, and so on and so forth, right? Now the question I can ask is there such a thing called steady state probability distribution? Is there such a thing called steady state probability distribution? That means, can I, now how many states are there here? S1, S2, S3, S4, four states. Now suppose I stop this guy off, okay, and let the transitions run for a whole bunch of time. And now after it reached steady, after some time has elapsed, now I sample the system randomly and see where you are, in what state you are. Okay? Now the question is the probability of state occupancy, is that steady after some time? For example, you know, one simple thing may be that in this case S1, S2, S3, S4, one simple thing may be that maybe 1/4 probability you would be in each of these states. But that's bogus actually. It's not 1/4 probability. Even in this, can you see which states are you more likely to be in and which states you are less likely to be in?
S1.
What? S1 is what?
More likely, because you're in S1, you have more probability of going to S2. S2 definitely going to S4.
Mm-hmm.
But in S4, you have the highest probability of going back to
S2. So, he's doing some analysis in front of you, right? And so he is basically iterating in his head to get that. But my point is, it's not uniform probability. There is probably a specific probability distribution. Now, if I were to figure that out, then that would be, and if in fact that's unique, if it is unique, then it's interesting. Okay? Now, why won't it be unique? Consider the following scenario. S1, S2, S3, S4. And with probability 0.7, it goes to S2. 0.3, it goes to S3, and for this guy probability 0.6, it goes to S1, and 0.4, it goes to S4. Okay, is that okay? S4? No, no. From S2, I will go with probably 0.6 to S1, and 0.4 to S4. From S1 with 0.3, I will go to S3, 0.7 to S2. These are the only transitions. This is a Markov chain. Does this have a steady state, unique steady state probability distribution? You should be able to see this and see whether or not there's a unique probability distribution. What happens there? So, it's not unique. So, either after a bunch of time, if you check, either it is 1, 0 is the probability distribution, or 0, 1, I'm sorry. So, if you think of the distribution as S1, S2, S3, S4 matrix. It's a column vector, right? They should all add up to 1. So it would either be S1 would always be 0, S2 would always be 0, either S3 would be 1 and S4 would be 0, or it would converge to 0, 0, 0, 1. So it's not a steady state probability. There is no unique steady state probability. Do you understand what I'm saying? In this case, there is no unique steady state probability. But if there is a unique steady state probability, one can say, one can make a invent a story and say that steady state probability is connected to the importance of the page. Now, here is the story I'll invent for you. Okay? The story I'll invent is that, think of this as actually the link matrix. Okay? Now, I understand that these numbers are 0.7, 0.3, etc. I'll tell you in a minute how you might get it. So, in fact, I will actually tell you now. Suppose I have, from S1, there are two hyperlinks from S1. Okay? For some reason, I decided the hyperlink to, let's say, from S1, the hyperlink to S2 is in a really large font. And the hyperlink to S3 is in a very small font. So I might say, well, it's reasonable to say S1, when you are in S1, you will go to either, the link to S2 is 0.7 and link to S3 is 0.3. Okay, if they're all in the same font, or if you don't want to differentiate between the link strength, then if S1 has two outgoing links, you would say 0.5 for one, 0.5 for one. If it has 10 outgoing links, each link gets 1 over 10 probability. That's just assuming all links are equal. If you can somehow differentiate between links and say some links are in big font, so then I will get a more general Markov chain. Okay. Now, the point is that once I have a page, once you understand that a link structure can be seen as defining an underlying Markov chain, okay, where the probabilities essentially are defined this way. So if there are total of n, the simplest way is if there are total of n outgoing links from a page, then you would put an edge from that page to all those links, and each of them will get 1 over n probability of transition. That's the simplest. And if you can do better, you can basically separate. All you need to do is make sure that all those numbers add up to 1. That's all. And then you can differentiate and say some things are bigger, some things are smaller, some things are in the main body, some things are very far away, some things are below the footnote, so they can't be more important links and so on. Okay. Now if you do this, now I have a Markov chain which is basically defining transitions between pages. Now who is transitioning? We have this random surfer. So presumably you're saying a random surfer, all they do is they get onto the web at some page, look at it, stare at it for a while, and then pick one of the links on the web, that page, click on it, stare at it for some more time, and pick one of the links on this new page, click on it, and go forward like that until, their wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend say, to heck with it, come out, and then they stop, right? So this idea of random surfing. So you're just surfing for the heck of it, and if there are no links from a page, you get stuck there. If there are pages which have no incoming links, then you probably will never reach there. Okay? To the extent you can model the large-scale navigation patterns of users on the web as a random surfing model, okay, to the extent you can do that, and to the extent it's not only random surfing, it's a Markov chain random surfing. That means you essentially only look at the, you don't care about how you got to the page. You look at this page, you look at the links on this page, and maybe if it's, one is in big, font, and one is a small font, you're more likely to click on the big font or the small font. As long as the probability that you will click on one of those links depends only on the page, but not how you got here, which clearly is a bogus assumption, because you probably came here, if to the extent we don't do random surfing, we were trying to look for something and we got to this page because we were looking for some particular kind of thing. So based on the way you got to this page, you actually change the probability with which you pick each of the links. So it's not Markov chain, really speaking. But to the extent you say it is Markov chain, then one can ask, if this Markov chain has steady state probability distribution, then that could be seen as the measure of importance of a page. If after it reaches steady state, if you basically, certain states are more likely to be visited than other states, then obviously the ones which are more likely to be visited are more important. More likely to be visited by random surfers are more important. That's all I'm saying. Now you can yell at me for saying this, but you have to use the right arguments. You have to say things like, what do you mean I'm a random surfer? What do you mean I'm a Markov random surfer? That means I only do the transitions from the current page. But it's a reasonable idea. Okay? So all I need to do is get the Markov chain and compute the steady state probability distribution. Now what is the steady state probability distribution? It turns out, surprisingly enough, that the steady state probability distribution, if there is a unique steady state probability distribution for a Markov chain, it corresponds to the primary eigenvector of the Markov chain. Again, okay, so the transition matrix is a matrix. It's not symmetric. However, it does have this property that the numbers in each column add up to 1. So that's why it's called a transition matrix. Now, if that's the case, then it also has, because it's a square matrix, because the translation matrix is a square matrix, it too has eigenvalues and eigenvectors. And every Markov chain transition matrix will have primary eigenvalue equal to 1, and the eigenvector corresponding to that will be the primary will be the probability distribution. Now, are you surprised at this? You shouldn't be. Why? Because think of this transition matrix to be M. Okay? Now suppose initially the random surfer has to start somewhere, right? So now the question is, where is the random surfer going to start from? That's the initial prior probability distribution. Okay? Let it be, you can make it all, whatever numbers you want. You can, for example, make it equal, any page uniformly chosen. In which case, the prior probability distribution would be 1 over n, capital N. That's the original probability distribution. Now, if you started with this distribution, okay, and if you transitioned using this matrix, and you want to compute the posterior probability distribution, so after one transition using this matrix, what would be the new probability distribution? It would be m times r. If you do it two times, it will be m squared times r. If you do it three times, it will be m cubed times r, m power 4 times r, m power k times r. Now, do you see what's going on? It's power iteration on m. So irrespective of where you started from, m power k times r will become essentially the primary eigenvector. So this is actually how you realize that Markov chain steady state probability distribution would be corresponding to the primary eigenvector. Okay? Fine? Now the only question, of course, is the steady state distribution actually exists for a Markov chain if and only if the graph has certain reasonable properties. For example, it better not have that kind of a scenario that I showed there. It better not be that graph. Right? Because if this is the graph, then you have no unique probability distribution, even at the steady state. Okay? In particular, Markov chain theory talks about nice kinds of notions such as aperiodicity and irreducibility, two important notions. The irreducibility essentially is the issue here, which is if there are sink nodes, if there are nodes such that you will reach there and you can't get out of those nodes, then basically the chain can't keep going. There's no point in talking about steady state if you go and stop somewhere. Okay, to the extent there are sink nodes, then Markov chain won't have steady state distribution. Markov chain is not guaranteed to have steady state distribution. So what do you need to do? If you do have sink nodes in your web graph, act as if random surfers, when they reach one of these sink nodes, would not just stay there, will toss a n-sided coin where n is the number of pages on the web, and whatever it says, they'll go to that page. If you do that in particular, then you no longer have any sink nodes. So from every node, you will get somewhere. Okay? So irreducibility actually requires essentially the property of irreducibility. In essence, says that from any node, any state, you can reach any other state with non-zero probability. That's what irreducibility is. Now, if you do have sink nodes, then you are not irreducible. Clearly, sink nodes kill irreducibility, because the moment you get to the sync node, you can't get to anywhere. But it's a necessary but not a sufficient condition. In fact, the sufficiency condition is, what if I have, in this particular case, what if I had a scenario where that's my entire graph. It has two distinct components. So S3, S4, S5 are connected. S1, S2 are connected. But you can't go from one to the other. In this case too, you would be irreducible, because the probability of going from S1 to S4 is zero. Okay? To avoid this, what do you do? You have to make sure, one way of avoiding this is to say that even a random surfer is not a Pavlovian dog. He or she would get to the page with a very high probability, would follow one of the links on the page, but with a small probability, they will just say, transport me magically to any other page in the world. If you do that, if you did that, then in essence what happens is everybody is actually weakly connected to everybody. Weakly connected to everybody. Now, that link, of course, is much lower transition probability, because if you have a web of a billion pages, that link probability is 1 over a billion. And furthermore, you wouldn't even do that. First, you have a coin. You know, the random surfer does the following set of operations. They'll go to a page, they will remove a coin from their one two-sided coin. Okay? It's a biased coin which comes heads with probability P and tails with probability 1 minus P, and they'll toss it. If it comes heads, they'll follow what the page asks them to do, which is a probability distribution. If it comes tails, then they will follow what the default distribution asks them to do, which is another probability distribution. Okay? The moment you do this, the Markov chain would be irreducible, and the primary eigenvector of the Markov chain would be uniquely defined, and that would correspond to the steady state probability distribution. And I will then go ahead and say that the probabilities are the importances. Okay? Probabilities are the importances. And that's basically page rank. Okay? Question?
So when you're going randomly from one page to another page, so are all the probabilities equal in that kind of scenario? If I'm just saying the two disconnected, so the probability from going from S1 to any other page and the probability of...
Okay, so this is basically, so there are, okay, remember these things. There are three parameters really we talked about. Parameter one is the probability P with which you follow what the page says, and 1 minus P, you do the default thing. And then the other one is what is the page distribution? Now notice that whatever page says can also be interpreted in multiple ways. If the page has 10 links, you can either say it is telling me to go to any of those links with 1/10 probability, or you can say, well, they are different probability numbers. You know, the ones at the higher end of the page are higher probabilities than the lower ones. So you can play with this. You can play with this. For example, I pointed out to you that maybe you can give higher weights to the links that are in, you know, blinking links, right? Or lower weights if you don't like blinking, okay? Instead of just doing uniform. The third probability you have is, what is your default reset? What's your default reset? That means if the coin comes heads, you would do this. If it comes tails, you will do this. Now your question is, must you always do the same thing when you do default? Not really. It turns out that as long as there is a non-zero probability of going from everybody to everybody else, the Markov chain is well behaved. Now, what I can do is the following. Suppose I have this way of doing it, all random surfers are created equal. Okay, so, but when random surfers get sick of what they are doing, they go back to some place where, some other place other than what the page says. Now one might say, if you believe in this, the cheer song, that sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, right? Computer scientists probably would want to go back to pages that are more computer science-y, and basically different users might use different default distributions. Okay, news junkies, if they have nothing to do, would go to CNN or New York Times. Computer science junkies, if they have nothing to do, would go to ACM page. I don't know if there are any of such people. But presumably if there are, okay. So the point is, I can define differing default distributions for differing user population. In fact, I can define a page rank for each user. Even though it's a random surfer number 17 is this guy. And this guy will have a different probability distribution of what, how they will reset themselves to. If you do this, that too will give you a unique, as long as none of those numbers are zero. None of those numbers are zero. So there's a non-zero probability that you would go to any page when you're sick and tired, but there's a higher probability that you would go to, let's say, a computer science page than a molecular genetics page. In that case, let's say, then you would have again an eigenvector, which would be a different eigenvector. So you would do that way, and some guy here, I don't know, is there any molecular genetics people here? No. Let's say this guy is molecular genetics guy. He would use a different default distribution. He would have a different importance matrix. But one can argue that your importance matrix are better for you because you are CSE guy, and his importance matrix are better for him because he's a molecular genetics guy. So this is actually, we'll talk about this. I mean, I'm doing everything on the board, but all these things are on the slide. This is a backdoor way of making page rank topic or user sensitive. In fact, it turns out that every idea for making page rank sensitive to the users are the topic or something else, such as the trust of the page, twiddles with this default reset distribution. That's it. Yes. It doesn't matter. So basically, that could be the default distribution. The start node. See, the default distribution, default reset distribution, is the one from which you pick the start node. So you are a CS random surfer. So you use the default CS distribution to pick a node from the entire set of nodes. You completely ignore the link structure.
Large, you will get a converged to uniform probability distribution for each node, even if there are thin nodes or attractive.
What are you saying?
Even
saying.
If the graph is not connected completely,
uh-huh.
In a random start node,
uh-huh.
It will converge to a uniform.
No, but the point is, depending on which node you start from, you can converge to a different distribution. That was my point earlier.
That's okay. If you take it, the probability of a over n random surface or a large number of random surfaces.
Yeah, but the point is, how do you compute that? Essentially, this iteration, remember that ultimately this is this iteration you are doing, m times r iteration, that can push you. If you started in this component, how many ever times you do m times r, m square times r, m cube times r, you will still be in this component. You will never come to this component because there is no link from that component to this component. There has to be a way to get out. Okay? It's kind of beautiful in some sense. I mean, Markov chains, you know, and you're now connecting it to the notion of importance of the page. It's a reasonable argument. It's like the amount of percentage of time a random surfer is likely to spend on that page. It's as good a way of defining page importance as any. Again, as I said, what's important is you have a reasonable story for how you're computing. A and H is one reasonable story, this is another reasonable story. okay, and both of them start from the same adjacency matrix. Yes.
This notion of weak links between pages that are not actually connected by hyperlinks. So are we using those probabilities also when we're computing the eigenvectors? So
yes. Yeah. So one, what you do. So then now let me go through a bunch of slides, which basically show you an example. Okay. Now that you know the theory, so you start with the link matrix. If there are any sync nodes, make them non-sync by saying they go 1 over n. So for sync nodes, the page, so you say, what does the page say? For the sync nodes, the page is actually saying 1 over n to anybody. Okay? And then there is a default reset distribution, which is for every page, if you don't like to do what the coin asks you to do, what would you do? That's a different distribution. Normally, if you don't have a particularly creative brain, you would say this is 1 over n, this is also 1 over n. But you can clearly play with this and change the importance measures you get. In fact, a very smart idea called topic sensitive page rank does this exactly. Whatever I just told you about, you know, it uses a different default reset distribution for different topics. And so if you can believe that the current user seems to be interested in, let's say, computer science C topics, then you use, so you, what you would do in the topic sensitive page rank is you decide on, let's say, K topics, computer science, molecular genetics, politics, whatever. And for each of them, you have a separate default reset distribution. So you now compute page ranks with respect to each topic. When a query comes, you try to classify that query into one of the topics. Okay? Or you can actually classify it into what is the probability that it belongs to this topic, this topic, this topic. And the importance of the pages then will be the probability times the topic-specific page rank. Google doesn't even do this because you guys are too happy with whatever it is giving. Okay? But it's easier to do. It's not completely user-specific. It's like you say the world is made up of 10 topics. So each page has 10 page rank. Okay? Okay. So here is an example. We'll just walk through it. Computing, suppose you have a graph like this. This is its incidence matrix, right? And the, if you just take this graph, the transition matrix would be this. Remember, so the idea is in the transition matrix, the columns should be adding up to 1. Those are the transitions. So in this case, D, you know, it's half and half because from D you can go to either A or B. So I'm just assuming both links are equal. It's a non-weighted graph. And so with 0.5 probability, I'll go here, 0.5 probability, I'll go there. So that's the default thing. Okay. And if there are any sync nodes, and are there any sync nodes in this case? Are there any sync nodes? No, there are no sync nodes here. Okay. If there are any sync nodes, then for that node, you would have just put 1 over n as the column for that sync node. Okay. That's basically the description about rank sync. You can read this up. Okay, now, what you would do is there is an M which corresponds to the original matrix, including the sync nodes and everything. Okay? And you would have to add, you add to that. So, in fact, this matrix, this original matrix, if it had sync nodes, it would then have 0 columns. There are certain columns which have only zeros. You add to that another matrix of the same n by n size, where for those 0 columns, you put 1 over n, 1 over n, 1 over n, in the entire column. And if you add m plus z, then you would get whatever I suggested as the way of getting out of the sync problem. Okay? And with probability c, instead of p, I am calling it c, I would do this. With probability 1 minus c, I would do this k, which is the reset distribution. And the reset distribution can also be 1 over n for all entries, But based on all the discussion I did to you, you know that 1 over n is the dumbest thing you can do. That's what Google does. You can do much better things, such as, you know, you can have a separate reset distribution for each user population or each topic. And that can increase the relevance of the importance for that user population. Right? Okay. So now this would be M star. This is a new transition matrix, an artificial transition matrix that you derived from the original transition matrix, which has all the good properties. It has the good property of random server who does once in a while get bored, and it also has the good property of not having any sync nodes. And in fact, random server getting bored helps a lot, because that is the way you make sure that everything is connected. The fact that there are no sync nodes can still allow you to have components. And remember last class discussion, when did authorities hubs fail? It failed when you had disconnected components. And I was suggesting towards the end of the class that I'll just make very weak links between, you know, everybody to everybody. That's exactly what we're doing here. Okay? Everything you can do for one, you can do for the other in some way. Now if you do that, now all what page rank iteration is going to do is it's going to compute the stationary probability distribution, which now you know is really, you know, M star. I mean, you can start with any random vector probability distribution RI, and you multiply, any probability distribution RI minus 1, you multiply it by M star, you'll get the new probability distribution. Now, if there is a steady state distribution, RI must be equal to RI minus 1. And the only time a matrix, this is another way of seeing that it's a primary eigenvector. Okay, notice that RI is a vector. You're multiplying M star times it to get RI. Now, there are two-part argument. One is, if there is to be a steady state distribution, it better be the case that RI minus 1 becomes equal to RI at some point of time. Right? That's the reason it's a steady state distribution. Now, then if RI is equal to M star times RI, that's the definition of eigenvectors. A times V equal to lambda times V is the definition of eigenvectors, right? Here lambda equal to 1. That's another obvious way. You know that it must be the eigenvector. Okay? So the steady state distribution would be the primary eigenvector. Yes. No, I mean, what I'm doing is I'm making these bogus links. It's not that I'm changing the page. I'm changing the link matrix. So I'm, and then my rationale for this is, with some low probability, the user would decide not to follow what the page is saying, and instead go back to his or her comfort zone. Comfort zone would be a reset distribution, which is, whenever I'm sick and tired, I'll go to one of these pages with some reasonable probability. No. If you are following, so there's a three-step process. So, with probability P, they will follow what the page says. What the page says is, go to one of my links. And so you will pick one of those links. You know, if you are looking at equal probabilities, you'll pick each of those links with equal probability. With probability 1 minus P, you'll do whatever else, which is just instantly transport yourself to some other page. Which is like saying, you know, I've had it. I mean, it's sort of, you can see yourself doing it. You know, people actually talk about this phenomenon. From the beginning parts of the web, people have talked about this phenomenon of depth-oriented search that you tend to do in web, because of which you go crazy after a while. You link, you know, click, 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 and after a while you say, why am I looking at this page? What was the reason? And this is why we don't get any work done. Originally, we come to school and we say, okay, today we have to do the homework. Let me look at the important thing about the homework. But this link looks good, let's go there. This link's good. This link. After a while, you're doing completely something different, which has nothing to do with what you're supposed to do. Okay? So if you want to pass the course and have a normal life, you will once in a while say, to heck with it, I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, I'll just come back to some other page. Right? So you can make a reasonable argument that this is a good bias random surfer model. Yes. Both are needed. Both are needed. I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing both. Okay. However, if you actually say with every page, so the problem is, if you don't do that, right, then for the sync pages, if you ever get to the sync page, with probability P, you'll just stay there. Okay, which is okay actually, because with probability P, you will stay in that page. With probability 1 minus P, you will take one of the weak links. Which is okay. It'll be a slightly different importance factor. So of the two changes we are making, if you have everybody from every page, there is a probability that you can go to any page. If you do that, you get irreducibility directly. But doing both is more reasonable, because you're saying if I reach a sync page, then even with probability P, I don't just keep staying there. You know, come on. I mean, you know that you can get out of the page. It's not like somebody put a fence around you. So in a way, you can say, if I ever reach a sync page with probability 1, I will not do what the page is asking me to do. Yes?
So could it also be possible that one model of the user could be that when he gets bored, that he might visit a random site he knows of the same topic?
Possible. Yes. Now, what's very interesting is, I mean, you guys can play with this to your heart's content for the part 2 of the project. Okay, depending on the reset distributions you use, you get different importance metrics. But the problem is, you really have to do a long enough study to figure out whether one is better than the other. And if you have no competition, and New York Times is every day writing whatever sneezing you're doing on the front page, and that means you're Google, why bother changing anything? Just stick with whatever you got. Okay, so, I mean, it's possible that they're basically computing one single page rank, and nobody complains, because other people aren't even figuring out that much. I mean, there are other people, but then there is this name effect, right? Okay. So that's your, for this particular graph, if I say P is 0.8, normally this P is either 0.8 or 0.9 or 0.85 or anything you pick. Now, which one are you supposed to pick? It depends on what sort of population you want to model. I mean, if you think users tend to, with 0.9 probability, follow the page, you'll say 0.9 is that number. Now I'm putting 0.8 there. Okay? And then 0.8 times M plus Z, so for this particular graph, I am, if I do 0.8 times M plus Z, and then add to that 0.2 times K, where Z as well as K are matrices. K is a matrix where every column, every element is 1 over M. Z is a matrix where only the columns corresponding to the sync nodes will have elements 1 over M. For this particular graph, Z would actually be 0, because there are no sync nodes. Okay? If you do that, and you compute the primary eigenvector, what MATLAB says essentially in this particular case is, in fact, this is the eigenvector, and it doesn't even add up to 1. But you can make it add up to 1, because these are probabilities that are proportional. Okay, so one way you can make it all add up to 1 is, this is basically the way MATLAB gives you the eigenvector, is it makes sure that the norm 2, which is the Euclidean norm of the vector, is 1. So if you square all these things and add them up and take a square root, you will get 1. But for it to be a probability distribution, you want to add them and it should be 1. That's okay. All you need to do is you divide each of them by the sum of all of them. You'll get probabilities. Okay? That's the probability distribution. And so all we are saying is, in this graph, C and D are more important and A and B are less important. And you can stare at that graph and see if that's sort of similar to your intuition. Since it's a small enough graph, you can stare at it. If it's a big graph, you can't stare at it. So you just have to hope that whatever Google said is the right thing. Okay? And whatever page rank iteration said is the right thing. So are there any questions on this? Now, so you got a page rank for each page, right? That's constant. You know, the simplest scenario is for every page, there is a single rank. That's it. Now, if I give a query, what is the answer? Is it just the most important page, no matter what the query is? That's an idea. So, for example, whatever the query is, the answer is google.com, which is not bad, right? It's the most important page, so you better be interested in it. But obviously, you want it to be sensitive to what it is that I'm asking, okay? Now, in Authorities Hub's way of doing things, which unfortunately, it's not actually Authorities Hub's way, it's like, if you compute the importance on the query-based set, in fact, you could have done the page rank computation also on the query-based set. Nobody stops you from doing this. I described page rank right now on the entire web, but it's not necessary. You could have started with the query. To combine it with the query, right, you could have started with the query, made the query pages, made the base set on both the forward and the backward link pages. You got a nice little link matrix. You do your, M plus Z thing, and then you compute the page importance there. That way, she would be happy. She would not have to deal with Authorities Hubs. Now, of the pages that have high similarities to the query, this is the ranking of them. You could do that. Okay? Obviously, Google doesn't want to do that because it will take some time after the query has been given. So instead, what it wants to do is it's a function of both your static page rank and your query-specific similarity rank. How do you do that? You say alpha times first one plus beta times the second one. So if you have apples and oranges and you need fruits, then you say alpha times apples plus beta times oranges equal to fruits. Okay? Now, does that have any theory whatsoever? No. That's like the first thing anybody would do, which is, I have two things, I need one thing, so add them up, multiply them, you know, divide it by seven, whatever, you know, that's more or less what we are doing. Now, obviously, so it's like the similarity, you know, with weight W, you add, multiply the similarity of the query to the D, which nicely happens to be a number between 0 and 1 because similarities are numbers between 0 and 1. And with 1 minus W, you multiply it by the rank of the page, which also nicely happens to be a number between 0 and 1. So it's a convex combination of two numbers. So it will be a number between 0 and 1. So you can just rank them in that order. Now, if anybody says, well, how does this make any sense? You say, you know, get another search engine. That's basically what it is. That's the most unsatisfying aspect of doing one single page rank. Okay, if you have topic specific page rank, maybe you would have at least figured out which page rank to use before you add them up. You know, computer science guys use these numbers, for business school people use these numbers and so on. Okay, now this W is another parameter, and how to set it, I don't know. It might be like the Coke's secret formula, you know, so this might well be, there's probably a really secret room where Paige and Brin go and look at the number and come back and tell people. I don't know, okay? That's it. That's one thing. And of course, the other interesting thing is these default reset matrices, we don't know which ones they're using. What's interesting is how many of you actually tried to look for the page rank paper that I put link to on the readings? And what happened? Yeah, that's the thing. This is the Fahrenheit 411. You know, it's like if you have any page, just you have to go to the Internet Archive. It might have it. They removed that paper, interestingly enough. So I guess some lawyer said before they went on IPO that, you know, you're not supposed to have these even fake motherhood apple pie papers on the web. I mean, you can imagine that I'm not getting a Google job, but that's a different story. I'm also not getting a Microsoft job. And White House jobs are completely out of question. So the thing is that essentially, what were we talking about? W. So, no, not W, something else. I just lost track of mine.
It's clicking on the page and they removed it.
What?
They removed the link.
Yes, they removed the link. So the page doesn't exist. So if you actually ask Google, where is this paper? I mean, they will take you to Google Scholar links, which actually have academic papers, which corresponds to a Thailand guy who very carefully converted this entire paper into Thai. And Google Scholar says it has 1135, you know, citations. And I said, wow, this must be the paper, and I tried to read it. And I couldn't see what it was, and I thought it was some sort of, you know, Israelis are good at translating, so I thought it must be Hebrew, but it turns out it's Thai, because it has a dot TH, unless a bunch of Israelis, Jews have gone off to Thailand and started translating there, okay? But, interesting, so they don't actually have this paper lying anywhere around, okay? So exactly what they are doing is almost less important. What is more important is the theory behind it, which is not particularly hard to get. No, I mean, it's not particularly hard to understand. Okay? Now, what's interesting is, I do want you to understand, I mean, many people don't understand this, and I hope you do understand, that this way of combining is orthogonal to whether you do PageRank or Authorities Hub. You could do Authorities Hubs and combine, so you do one Authority Hub for the entire world, entire web, and combine them using this. Okay, and you can do PageRank for just the base set of the queries. These are orthogonal issues. It's important to know which piece of the algorithm can you steal and put it in some other part, because that's when you don't think of these as black boxes that you must take. Okay, and it's just a different way of looking at the link matrix. You know, you interpret in one case you interpret as the social networks of hubs and authorities. Another case you interpret as a Markov chain being searched by a random user. Whichever you feel like. Both of them are fake, but you know, whichever you feel like, you know. Now, so in terms of the computation of page rank, notice that one obvious idea, which is what actually written up in probably in the chapter you read, etc., is you start with any random page rank vector, which is you could say 1/n for everybody, let's say. Okay. And remember, again, as long as you start with a vector which does have a non-zero projection in the primary eigenvector direction, power iteration will guarantee that you would get the power eigenvector. Okay? One point, of course, for those of you, actually, one guy actually already mentioned this, one person already mentioned this after the class a couple of times back. Those of you who know the MDP theory, MDP policy iteration, value iteration, and there are like 5 or 6 of them, these are my returning customers. For them, the value-added information, which is basically when you do evaluation of a policy on an MDP, that's just a Markov chain. Okay? So if you fix the policy on the MDP, and I'm sorry, for the people who don't understand what I'm saying, that's okay. But there are 5 or 6 people who understand this, and it's good to know that connection. And an MDP, if you fix the policy, then it's a Markov chain. Okay, and evaluating a policy then essentially evaluates the steady state probability distribution. Okay, the value function. Now the interesting thing is we know from that point, and I think you can also make sense of it here, is must you, when you are doing power iteration, must you start from R0 and say R1 equal to M times R0, R2 equal to M times R1, R3 equal to M times R2 and so on. And when do you stop this? Between Ri and Ri plus 1, the difference is too minimal. In which case you have converged. Okay? One other idea, so this is a reasonable idea. This is conceptually very easy to understand. Another idea is you don't necessarily have to keep 2 copies of this rank. So this requires that you keep 2 copies at every point of the vector R. Okay, you don't even need that. In fact, it's better if one node's importance has already been updated for now, the next node can use the updated value to update itself. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is basically called prioritized sweeping in the MDP literature. And it's a very simple thing to do. In fact, you should implement it this way when you're implementing PageRank. Okay, so what you do is you have so these are the 2 different equations. In one equation, essentially, you are doing the xk plus 1 depends upon xkth iteration. In the other iteration, xk plus 1 depends upon the k plus 1th values of some of the variables, and kth values of other variables which don't have k plus 1th value. Now if you do the update in a total order, right, you know, you do update a page by page basis, then you can do this, and this way, you know, the later guys can benefit from the fact that the previous guys already have the newer R number. This is an efficiency issue. So if you're computing page rank on a, you know, web scale matrix, the question is how many times are you iterating before you got the primary eigenvector. Okay, it's a bigger issue for page rank than for, so page rank, at least the way that default page rank just tries to compute one page rank for the entire web. So you do at the web scale matrix, whereas authorities hubs can constrain the base set. I mean, if you're doing it on the base set, which is the way normal authorities hubs does, you can constrain the base set and it can be just, you know, 2,000 pages, and it's so much easier to deal with 2,000 by 2,000 matrix than a billion by billion matrix. Okay, and either way, the number of iterations does matter because it tells you how fast you converge. Okay, and it's understood that if you use the more recent values of your predecessors, you get your more recent values faster. Okay, and in fact, this is like a nice little plot showing the number of iterations and the error between the current vector and the final vector. Okay, and you notice that if you do it the normal iteration by iteration way, this is called synchronous sweeping. So the entire set will update itself. Then again, entire set will update itself. So entire set of nodes update their values based on the k minus 1th iteration values of other nodes. In this case, you do it in a prioritized sweeping. Okay. Now, what's interesting, of course, is that you notice that both of them ultimately reach the same lowest error, but this one comes down much faster. So in fact, by about 20 iterations, this has stabilized for some particular matrix size, whereas this one sort of started stabilizing around 55th iteration. This could make a big difference if you are into improving performance. Okay. And furthermore, if you are doing prioritized sweeping, you can actually do the following thing. Every time you can change the order in which you update the nodes. Okay. In the order of their importance. So after a few nodes, it's like ultimately what you really care about is the important nodes, right? So you can, in the beginning, you can have one total order, and then after a while, you can start changing the total order and say it is in terms of the order of the importance, the current importance of those nodes. And any one of these will converge. Any one of these will converge. Okay? And these are all straightforward methods for computing eigenvectors, primary eigenvectors. One other issue for page rank computation that we'll look at, which is also kind of relevant to the project, is how would you remember the link matrix? If you are doing it for the web scale, if you're doing it for the entire web scale, how would you remember the page rank? I mean, what if the link matrix, the M star, does not fit in the main memory? Okay. Now, what is a link matrix? A link matrix essentially is of this form. It says it's a matrix of this form. Basically, it's a data structure of this form. This is the source node 0. It has 4 links out of it, and it has links to pages 12, 26, 58, 94. So I have essentially gone ahead and given an integer identity to each of the pages that I have crawled, and the link matrix essentially would be something like this. Okay. Now, unfortunately, if you are talking about the web scale link matrix, so this was for the Stanford web base, which, you know, for the 99 time frame, which was like the part that, you know, the when Brin and Page were part of a digital libraries project of NSF, and they essentially crawled a part of the web, which had about 20 million pages or something, if I remember correctly. What? How many? Okay. So what you could do for that, the space required to just remember this data structure was 1 gigabyte main memory. In 98, 1 gigabyte main memory was hard to get. Now you say, yeah, what the heck, I mean, 1 gigabyte, I'll give you 1 gigabyte. But now, of course, you have billions of pages, so the size also has increased tremendously. So the question is, if the link matrix does not fit in the main memory, what do I do? How do I do the power iteration if the link matrix does not fit in the main memory? I have to distribute the link matrix. When did I think about something like this in this class? If the inverted index does not fit in the main memory, what do? Didn't I talk about this? I guess all of you are asleep. Some people are awake. And so you have to distribute it. So clearly you have to distribute it here too. Now, when you have a link matrix like this, you can distribute it in two ways. One is, I can take hack up like 1 over n, you know, decide into, let's say, n fragments. I can hack up the first 1 over n of this matrix, put it in one, you know, one machine, second 1 over n, put it in another machine. Or further, or basically each block, I can put it in the, you know, disk and bring it into the main memory as needed. We considered that for distributed index, and said, no, we won't do that. Remember, you know, I talked about this idea that the index at the end of the text can be split in two different ways if you want to reduce the number of pages in the index. One is, you would say, in this book, I'll only tell you the index for the, you know, words 1 to 10,000. In the next book, I'll tell you the index from word 10,000 to 20,000. For the book after that, I'll tell you the index from 20,000 to 30,000. That's one way of splitting. A better way of splitting, we remembered at that time, was to split each guy. So the size of the matrix in terms of each node will still be having an entry. But then the destination nodes, you would say, if you have a link to a node between 1 to 10,000, then it will appear in the first block. If you have a link for any node from 10,001 to 20,000, you will be in the second block. This is exactly what we did for the distributing of the inverted index. And in fact, there's a little paper that I have linked on the page, Pahalewala, which in fact is still available, surprisingly enough. And that shows that, you know, instead of doing this single full matrix, if you do this bucket kind of an analysis, where essentially each piece here winds up being, so for example, first piece is 0, 1, 2, but 0 is only showing 12 and 26. In the second piece, you are showing 0 also goes to 58. And the third piece, you are showing 0 also goes to 94. Okay? If you do that, and again, that will reduce the memory requirements. And now you use these to compute the page rank, so you now have to loop over each of the blocks, an extra outer loop over each of the blocks. He shows that you could make a killing in terms of the total time spent, because if the thing doesn't fit in the main memory and you are thrashing, you know, then you can spend a large extra amount of time. By bringing each block into the memory, working on it, and then bringing the next block, working on it, you can reduce essentially the I/O access cost. And for large matrices, that winds up being the most important issue. I do not necessarily know whether you can actually test this out, because I don't know whether your crawl in the project 2 is large enough to not have this to not fit in the main memory. Okay, but if it doesn't fit in the main memory, then you can actually see the effect, because secondary memory access time is much lower. Okay, this is important. You know, the efficient computation does require that you keep. I mean, how many of you are database geeks? Yeah. So, the whole point of join algorithms, the 1.5 million join algorithms that database guys have, right? It's all about disk is the bad guy. Don't ever go there. Okay, try to avoid this. And localize the accesses such that you can get by with, once in a while you go to the disk and get a huge amount, is better than going to the disk for every piece of the computation. Right? And these are just as important for actually page rank computation getting done within months as against within months. One might say that since the whole thing, you're doing it for the entire web graph at the same time, it's not that bad, you know, even if it takes months. Okay. So this is where we will stop with the page rank. There is an idea right after this. Actually, I'll get to this collusion of the page rank next time. It turns out that you can defeat page rank also. But this idea of topic-specific page rank, I claim I have described it already, way much more detailed than is there in this particular slide. But I will talk about it again next time once. But essentially, all that topic-specific page rank does is it changes the reset distribution for different topics. Okay, that's what you're saying there. And so you have a different reset distribution for different topics, which are biased towards the topic-oriented pages, so that not everybody is 1/n. And if you do that, you know, Haivelivala's paper actually on UpDevDub 2002 shows that precision recall can improve. And Haivelivala has then been bought in and bought BOUGHT into Google, and he's an employee. And is he using topic-specific page rank? I don't think so. It's a great idea, but I don't think they're using it. Okay? We'll stop here. You have enough things to start doing the project too if I release it.